If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about: golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
2.5 back of the wild card spot. Let's go.
Well, according to people on MLB Network, the season's over.
Back to 500.
We're 2.5 out of the wild card. Season's dead.
Stacking series wins. Stacking. Stacking.
This is amazing. We got people taking video of Stephen Kwan out in left field where he's basically doing his goodbye concert to everybody, which everybody's like, no, he does that every game, which
he waves never before attention. Every game. I can confirm that.
And then he waves at the end of every game.
When they win home games, I have seen him wave before. I can't say everyone, but I know every home game he comes out and he waves.
Wait, he waves hello or waves goodbye?
He kisses it goodbye. He waves hello.
He says very aloha. Specific here.
That means both.
And our prayers are with those in the path of a tsunami right now in Hawaii. I had friends that were heading out that way.
To start the show.
Okay. Mary Kay Cabot at 8:20 this morning. I don't know why I needed to say that, just to keep moving on with the show there. You can always tell when I just want to trudge forward, when just go, Mary Kay, we're talking Guardians, she's going to join us at 8:20 this morning. Yeah.
I feel the same way. I made that open knowing that music was not the way that I feel this morning, right?
Well, because,
everyone's telling me that we are in hospice right now, and I'm just saying, no, he's getting out of hospice,
all
dude.
Right. Yeah, tell me if I'm somebody's like, we've all known somebody who's like at death's door, and they ain't doing well, and their son, daughter, whoever it is just unrealistic about the situation. And you're like, well, they're dealing with it the way they have to deal with it. That's fine. But it's like, no, I'll be fine. I'll pull through. That's it. You know, and I'm going, I got Jim Bowden on foul territory, and I'm going to play this here in a second. But they're saying the season's over. What am I missing? You're 2.5 games out of the wild card. And, well, the season's done. So we got to liquidate the assets. Liquidate the assets. Please help me. If I'm being unrealistic, I need your help this morning. 216-474-0092. Because Emmanuel Clase, who's going away now until August 31st, and then we'll find out, more than likely gone. He goes away now. If he's gone, I'm thinking you're already on a roller coaster with him anyway. Luis Ortiz, it was already going, well, you mean you can hopefully get... Like I was hoping that there was promise there. He's only 25 years old. But there was not a whole lot of faith in... There was more faith in Emmanuel Clase, but there really wasn't a whole lot of faith in either or. And you were still there. And like last week, all right, we're coming out of the All-Star break. We're going well. Things are going well. We could take a run at this wild card spot. We could take a run at this American League wild card, still make the most of this season, even though the ownership didn't really give us much to really go on anything, and we actually pulled away from this team. And then by the end of last week, when the Tigers were struggling, there were some people toying with the notion of taking over this division, even though you were 8 games out to start the week.
And you're 9 right now.
And by the way, go to look what the Angels did. The Angels started the day at 2 games under 500. I didn't see what the Angels might have done last night or yesterday afternoon. But the Angels started the day at 2 games under 500. They're behind you in the wild card and Bob Nightingale. Oh, they're buyers. The Angels are buyers. So not only are we not buying, we're not supposed to buy, we're supposed to have a borderline fire sale and get rid of Stephen Kwan. Here's Jim Bowden.
Oh, he was going to get traded. There's no doubt. And Chris Antoine, the president, Mike Chernoff, the GM, have been working 6 weeks at moving Emmanuel Clase. And they were in a really strong position as sellers. And they decided to sell. And that's the direction they were going. And Clase was going to be the headliner at this trade deadline for them. And they were in a great position because we have so many of the contending teams and division leading teams that were focusing on high leverage back end relievers. This is franchise changing. This is a huge blow for them because this was going to be an opportunity to really reset this organization by using him as trade bait here. And so it is just a huge setback.
So you were going to get rid of that, again, that's foul territory. So you were going to get rid of Emmanuel Clase, who, again, you had a $6 million salary due to you next year, and I think it was up to $10 million a year after that, but who knows if you were going to really do that. And I had been saying since the wintertime, it's like, man, Emmanuel Clase is going to get traded by the trade deadline. So there's nothing surprising there. But because not to mention,
it sounds like what he's referencing is there could have been a bidding war for him,
but
that the Guardians would have held all the cards there and been able to get a haul for him.
So that blows up in your face. That's unfortunate. Feel bad for you on that one. But because that blows up in your face, I have to get rid of one of the only two guys that I can get. Well, I mean, I could try to start counting on Kyle Manzardo, but they won't play him against any lefties. I'm a lefty. You're a lefty. So if they put you and me on the mound against the Cleveland Guardians, that means Kyle, you're a lefty too.
I'm a lefty
this
too,
is a room
yeah.
full of lefties
Let's
here.
Go.
So
Manzardo is not hitting on this show.
If any one of us were to be selected by one of the teams and just stood out there on the mound, apparently Kyle Manzardo isn't allowed to be in the lineup because we're lefties. Guy with an almost 6 ERA last night. Ah, Kyle Manzardo can't start. Can't start in this lineup, no.
We've been puzzled by that feels like a month.
So there's that, and because you didn't get this haul for Emmanuel Clase, now it feels like a problem. Like, to me, that feels like a problem gambler chasing, like trying to come back from something going, I almost had that, so now I have to go chase this. Like, no, what are you doing? Why do I need to trade away a guy who I have 2 years? Owen's nodding his head with everything I'm saying.
It feels like credit card debt where they're just selling off stuff to try to pay off
exactly.
their lenders.
So because I didn't get that windfall of the almost win, I've been chasing my king in blackjack, and since I didn't get it, now I'm chasing other things, and so now I have to get rid of the guy who I still have 2 more years of team control?
Yeah, it's tough because I can't lie. I've been saying for, you know, a year that I don't think they're going to sign Kwan. So if I'm operating from that standpoint, and I think most rational Guardians fans probably when they saw The Notebook, and I'm not talking about the movie, which I do cry at the end. I have cried.
Never cried at the end. I thought it was the hokiest ending in the history of movies.
Insane. Well, you don't have any feelings. Wait, I mean, we've delved into your relationship.
We'll do this on the podcast.
Can I spoil the movie? Can I spoil the movie?
No, you cannot.
Oh,
no.
Holding hands and dying in the same bed in the same time.
And that's what I feel like with Stephen Kwan right now is me and him are laying there holding hands and we're about both to die.
Once his notebook, once it got out that he was looking for whatever, 30 million plus, 35 I think at that point, but I don't think he's sniffing that. I've always just assumed, again, we're going to have to enjoy Kwan until we don't have him anymore. There's a little bit of surprise. Like, this seems like a year early that they would be moving him. Now, I don't know what the offers are. I've always kind of operated with the Guardians. Like, they, in the past, I have trusted them on moves like this. I have trusted them saying that it always sucks to lose a guy that you really like and you're invested in. But if they're not going to sign that guy, then get what you can for him. This just seems a year early. And I don't know if that trust is there as much as it used to be.
And the problem I have with all this is I'm an emotional basket case, and you're not disagreeing with me. So when we start, like when I start yelling about football, it's all right in front of me, and I can see forest, trees, the whole thing. And I'm an emotional basket case about baseball. And this whole time, Ken, you've been like, well, Ken, you're thinking with your heart. You're not thinking with your head. Look at where they're at. Well, now you're kind of wondering, like, well, why are you doing this when you still have a year of control? And the proponents, because I've had people walk up to me over the last 24 hours who are like Guardians people who are proponents of this. And well, Kenny, you can get this haul. I go, what haul? What haul? My superstar is 32 years old. Are we not supposed to build around the superstar, the guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame? We're not supposed to do that. What's this haul? Because I hear about the catching prospect. Okay, well, by the way, if we're going after another catching prospect, that's still a knock on the front office here, because who's your catcher right now? You can put a guy out there with no arms who might do just as well defensively. And then you have Austin Hedges, who's basically slider in the dugout. Okay. So that's still a knock on the front office. So I need to know why. And I ask this rhetorically because we know why. The team that came off an ALCS appearance last year and is still 2.5 games out of the wild card as we start this show this morning needs to have a fire sale. It ain't adding up. It ain't adding up. And you bitch and moan about money all the time. Talking about them over there. You bitch and moan about money all the time. Well, we just pull our pockets inside out. We're spending all this. Don't you see we're spending? Okay, fine. I don't see it because we're not allowed to see anything. And now I feel like it's 2011 all over again. And the only thing I can think of is that all you're trying to do is just prepare for some work stoppage so you can get all the young guys in the farm system that you possibly can to get ready for a work stoppage coming up in the next couple of years.
I do think you're going to, not just here in Cleveland, I think a lot of the markets that operate like this, a lot of the owners that operate like this, we're talking bottom 10 in payroll. I think you're going to hear a lot about that work stoppage and teams gearing up for that and trying to save every last dollar they can.
Which, again, and that's a baseball problem.
Yo, that's a huge baseball problem.
Except, again, Paul Dolan is part of baseball.
That's what separates baseball from the other sports is that you do have that problem.
It's terrible. So now I have a team that's competitive. Like, if you were a Pirates fan, you could just say, I don't give a damn, to hell with them. Why are we even wasting our time? Let's talk about Steelers training camp. And there might be some people just want to talk about Browns training camp for all that matter. So we'll see where this one goes. But because they haven't been a competitive, really competitive franchise in quite some time, you could just say, ah, to hell with them. I don't care about them anyway. This has been a competitive franchise. The whole reason that I'm upset and bothered by all this is because they've played well enough to make a lot of people care and make the hardcore sports fans in Cleveland care about this team to think they can actually break through. And now we're preparing for our fiscal futures here instead of trying to win, which is contradictory to what every fan out there wants their pro sports teams to do. And when I'm not getting you talking down to me, and I'm saying this in a nice way, when I'm not getting you talking down to me going, Ken, you're too emotional over this, that's what bothers me the most. Because throughout this entire time, see, we started the season, well, you got to understand the economics of this. And we were with each other up until about last month. And then the wheels came off, the gloves came off, we said nasty things about each other.
When they had lost 10 straight.
But here you are not telling me that I'm acting like a child and not being realistic about the situation and not being respectful of a team that has been responsible over the last umpteen years. And that's what bothers me the most, because if they get you off the wagon, well, then it's just all three of us and we're just going to be upset because he's as fit to be tied as anybody
Do you think part of it is they came into the season with their fingers crossed that their front office maneuvers and risky as they were with the Naylor situation, they end up, you know, the Freeman, whatever. It's been unbelievable how bad, you know, Nolan Jones is. And then, of course, Freeman, he hasn't taken off, but he's been pretty good. He's at least hit for average.
He's what we need
right now. But, and this isn't to give them credit at all, because these were risky moves. And I remember we were sitting there looking at each other when these moves were made in the offseason going, I guess I got to trust them. In the past, they've been able to turn these into... They've been turning these into either talent or they've been smart to get out of certain contracts and let it be somebody else's problem. And then they're putting their eggs in the David Fry, you know, the Lane Thomas baskets, and hopefully somebody can emerge and eventually they're going to bring up DeLauder, which unfortunately is not going to happen this year. And it was too late for our liking anyway. And Bazana, let's see what kind of an impact he might have. And then he had setbacks. Is it possible they're just looking today going, all right, I know what the standings say. We're 2.5 games back. This has been a season from hell.
It ain't possible. I think it's happening.
The moves haven't, the successful moves that we normally can rely on, they have not gone our way. They might preach bad luck. Obviously, we'd have fans call in and say, well, that's luck that you created. Either way, they're sitting here going, what's the point? They're not going to sign Kwan. At no point does anybody truly think they're going to sign Kwan to a lucrative deal because nobody gets a second deal here.
So anything they do.
All of that is over anyway, so begin the pivot process.
So everything they do, that's good. If they go and say they can't get a deal done with Kwan and he stays here, or if they even do, for crying out loud, that's a totally different animal. But anything they do from here on out, see, you just hit it. Anything they do from here on out, they've done in spite of the wishes of the front office of the ownership.
You're talking if they actually pull it off and
they did they shed salary during the offseason. They'd make no real effort to help this baseball team roster wise. You were planning on trading away Emmanuel Clase all the time, the whole way through. That blows up, then it turns into, well, it must go with Stephen Kwan. If you can't get a deal done because it's not to your liking, people know you're in a disadvantaged position because it reeks, for the first time ever, it reeks of desperation by this club, which I never thought they'd be in a desperate mode, because now from the way that Bowden just said and the way that they're saying this in these reports, see, now the Guardians are working to move him. They're working to move Kwan and Bieber. So if they went from, well, it's Clase, to working to move Kwan and Bieber, well, now you're a desperate team. So anything they accomplish now is directly in spite of the front office. Do you disagree with that? Because it's against the wishes of what they want to do.
They probably chalk it up to that's baseball.
Great.
So my big hope for my team is baseball. That I think that's always been the hope for, especially come playoff
time. That's been my entire argument over the last month, because the other two teams in town, one to a embarrassingly terrible level, the other one to a very good level, they didn't just go, well, that's basketball and that's football. They did everything they could, hell or high water, for better or for far, far worse.
Oh, I mean, yes, the worst.
Far worse.
The bottom.
Far worse to eliminate the that's this and that type of thing. And you just said it. If they do anything good, well, that's baseball. You can't predict baseball. So now that's all we are. And I hate it. And I'm not trying to be ironic or kitschy or anything here. Now we're rolling craps at the table.
Is there any part of you that would say the prototypical Kwan deal, the deal that they make every time, that's why, to play devil's advocate, that's how the Guardians and their low payroll sustain themselves over time?
Oh, maybe. 216-474-0092. Are you okay with trading them? Trade deadline, 6 o'clock today. They're back home tomorrow against the Twins, right?
I believe so.
Twinkies coming to town. So I thought by last night, it could very well be Stephen Kwan's last game. Not because of the wave off or anything like that. Let's just call it what it is. The trade talks have heated up. So have you made peace with it, or are you okay with trading him? We got Matt Derry who said he's done with the ownership. He's done until they sell if they trade away Stephen Kwan. You feel bad for Stephen Vogt? That was him right there. You feel bad for him? There's somebody else within the organization I'm starting to feel bad for. More of that coming up at around 8 o'clock. Go ahead.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think Vogt probably thought they had a really good chance to be good again. I mean, when your first year as manager, you go to the ALCS, you're being crowned your manager of the year. You start maybe to believe some of the hype, and then, you know, nothing worked out coming back. I mean, you know, you're sitting here at 500. I don't want to make it seem like they're 20 games below or were the Rockies or anything. But
if they were 20 games below or were the Rockies, we just wouldn't care. There'd be no reason to get mad. Well, if they were coming off of last year, there'd still be, but you would be apathetic now and be like, yeah, just go ahead and trade him. Obviously, this isn't working out.
Like, Vogt, they started the year, Vogt thought they had enough to win. And so you could hear it through him just every day trying to put a positive spin. And to the point where we were getting frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, come on.
Some people were making the Stefanski argument and stuff like that. Yeah.
Come on, we're all watching the same game. We're all watching the same ineptitude with the lineup. And, you know, the Manzardo thing is hanging on him. I mean, this has been a long enough period of time where the guy, I think yesterday we saw he was second on the team in slugging percentage, but yet he's not an everyday player for them.
Well, I question that, and man, I've heard you get mad about the Browns and the Cavs, and I'm waiting for it to happen with the Gardos, and it's not like you've been accepting. It's not like you've buried your head in the sand. That would be a supreme insult to you. But I think what you've made it very frustrating with is that you have chosen to trust almost implicitly what the front office has done. And there, this right now, as we are inside of 12 hours away from the trade deadline.
Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why's Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is becoming some of the most frustrating times for a Guardians fan who is who knew that they were close last year, who looked at the circumstances of the three other teams and where their payroll was compared to you, and the whole history that we've broken down several times since the end of the ALCS in Game 5. And so now we're here, and like even yesterday, Anthony, like I'm screaming at my computer, and I can't tweet anything back at people. Twitter Reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, because there is the other side to it. And I imagine this is what Antonetti and Chernoff and everybody else would say, because I'm looking at the lineup going, where's Manzardo? Well, Ken, it's a lefty on the mound. I go, what does that got to do with the price of fish? The guy's got a near six ERA who they're pitching, who they're hitting against. What is that? So, and I said to you guys in the open, I go, we're three lefties in here. So if they just put my fat ass out there to just stand and throw meatballs, I guess they can't hit my Kyle Manzardo. And then there was another reason. Well, you know, Carlos Santana, they could be showcasing him. I go, at 39 years old, we're showcasing Carlos Santana, who is not the player he used to be the last two times that he was here. And that reasoning, while there's always going to be another side, that reasoning is frustrated. I don't think the Guardians are going out of their way to just make us mad. They're not making decisions just to upset their fan base. But it's frustrating where I see what the Cavs do. The Cavs are, they are a fantasy fan's dream. I mean, if you're a regular just Joe fan of basketball, they went, made a big trade. They're always in the conversation for other guys. For the love of God, for a frustrating time, they'll never be out on the LeBron conversation, no matter what. They'll never be out on that. And then the Browns, for better, for worse, again, we've talked about that. And these are two, and now with the second apron, these are two hard cap sports. And with baseball, I'm just told where, hey, you basically just have to try to enjoy the ride as best you can and hope instead of being competitive. So I can be a real competitive bastard about the other two sports. Real hard nose. But then when it comes to baseball, I just have to sit here and twiddle my thumbs. And Owen's over there getting ready to shoot blood out of his ears because he's so angry. And a lot of other people are doing the same thing in his section. Part of it is,
and I'll tell you this, this dates back because, you know, I lived out of market. And so baseball was like the first thing to go. Because, I mean, come on, Cavs had LeBron. Didn't matter where you lived in the world, you could see LeBron games. The NFL is a national product, so I was going to be able to see the Browns no matter what. That was never going to be a real issue. But baseball, it was tough to keep up with them, and I was so down on baseball as a whole, mm-hmm. and I still am. I mean, I'm still really, I think the sport's been really exciting the last few years, and the pitch clock, that spoke directly to somebody like me. So I might have been one of those casuals that people get annoyed with. But I watched the World Series last year. That was the first World Series I've been dialed in a long time. I knew a bunch of the players. That had never been the case.
I will tell you this. I think we talked about this real quick, because I always said, like, oh, I just give up emotionally. And I think I watched more of it because it was on Fox, and then it was right before. And then I did really want the Dodgers to beat them. I was annoyed with Yankee fans after that, seeing it live in person. I was really annoyed with them. Go ahead.
Yeah, but all of that is to say, like, yes, and maybe people could talk me otherwise and tell me it's all on one guy, the guy we talk about, you know, the most when it comes to baseball here in this town, which is Dolan. But I have blamed most of the issues just on baseball. That's the way that I've watched this sport. I think it's a miracle that the Guardians have won as many games as they have over the last decade. I know that's not a World Series, but you know, that's a high bar. We don't do that in the other sports. We don't just say Super Bowl or NBA Finals or bust every year. We find joy in the Brown seasons where they win three games. So I'm not going to just say in baseball it has to be the World Series.
That's pretty cynical, Joy, though. Sure. They can be real sarcastic.
There's also no way that if the Browns were 5-5, they would go, okay, we're going to trade off. We're going to trade off the guy that everyone loves and one of our best players on the team.
I mean, too. For the love of God, in the face of what a lot of people thought was not the best decision for their future, they paid Myles Garrett more money. They paid him more money.
But then,
kept him around for the rest of his career.
But then, that's right. I present that as a baseball problem, unfortunately.
Yeah,
in a market like this,
I agree with you.
I think it's just a reality. I mean, people can tell me that, you know, the Dolans, who this was earmarked to sell. A couple years ago, we had heard they were in the transition process of selling. And I wonder a lot about that, too, with the economics of baseball, work stoppage coming up, a minority owner we haven't really heard from. I mean, don't you think that's kind of bizarre? We never hear from David Blitzer. We never hear much at all from David Blitzer.
He's a minority owner.
He has the money to buy the team.
What am I supposed to hear from him, though? Is he supposed to say anything as a minority owner? Like, I'm asking a question here. I don't know.
I mean, this is a guy who is a part of the...
You haven't heard from Charles Woodson either yet.
He's now one of the biggest sports... Isn't he coming to town? Aren't we getting...
I would assume.
I thought they were going to do a whole thing.
Did Usher hold press conferences?
He absolutely did talk. I do remember that. Dan Gilbert brought him aboard.
Turned his chair around and sat right down.
He did bring him.
We know Miles has spoken.
Yeah. So all I'm saying
is... Kind of points the tone.
All I'm saying is that this team has been for sale. It has not been sold. Now you've got a work stoppage coming. I don't know what the future is. I don't know. To me, they're a distressed asset. The lack of local money. They're losing now, you know, 50 to 60 million a year that they would have had otherwise previously. I'm just
tell me you hate baseball and you hate the Guardians.
I do think he hates the Guardians. I hate the economics of the sport. I don't know how you wouldn't. If this was baseball or basketball and every team.
I don't know, because it's something that we've all done. 4 years old, I played my first baseball game. I love it. I don't know why I love it. I just do.
Yeah.
It makes no sense why I love it. We do all of this because we love sports, mm-hmm. right? And if there's a really good tennis match on, we'll probably watch it, right? If it's the Masters on, we're going to watch it. We love sports. I love baseball. I don't understand why I still plan on going to the ballpark. We still have the passes. I don't know why I want to do it, but I do. But it pisses me off, this situation. I looked, 2023, right?
Yeah.
We traded Aaron Civale. I was pretty upset then, but understood that he's a pitcher and it's once every five games, you know, he gets to affect the team. But I just looked at the numbers. It was July 30th. He started. They won the game. They were a half game out of the division, a half game behind the Twins, six games out of the wild card. They traded him away and they were 54-54. I'm sorry, 53-53.
And as agitated as I am right now, I haven't said a word about being angry about Shane Bieber. I understand that.
Yeah.
But Stephen Kwan makes no logical sense. If they do it today, I'm sure they'll get a bunch of prospects and they'll talk about where these guys are ranked in the prospectus. And I'll try to swallow it as best I can. But I'm going to be upset.
Then they'll put Will Wilson in left field and all.
Hold on. The logical sense part, you did agree they were not going to sign him. So they were always going to trade him. You just think it doesn't make logical sense because they're going to trade him a year early.
Still have two years of arbitration.
To do it now. And my issue is, and this is where it gets to the problem of baseball, and then we go in a circle because I say, well, Paul Dolan's one of the owners in baseball, so it's still a problem with Paul Dolan, is, well, the argument, how much do you pay him? Well, we can't afford to overpay anybody. We can't afford to pay a batting average leadoff guy. Well, you don't have power anyway, and you don't have power really in the system that you can count on. I'm sorry, Jace LaViolette is going to be in the system for at least 4 years. So you don't have anybody in the system who you can really count on. And Manzardo, who hit two home runs the other day, you just won't play him. So again, you just continue to spike your own argument if you're the Guardians. However, when it gets to the monetary thing about it, you can't give me this crap. And I said this even last night. You can't give me this crap about how he wants to play on the West Coast. For years, a lot of guys wanted to play college football in the South. It's amazing what money can do to change people's minds. It's amazing. I'm sure that there's plenty of guys, Myles Garrett, who's from Arlington, Texas, Myles Garrett, you give him a bunch of money, all of a sudden he wants to stay here in Northeast Ohio for the rest of his career. Plenty of guys, you give him a bunch of money, they want to stay in Northeast Ohio. You know, Donovan Mitchell isn't here for the love of the game. I don't mention Jose Ramirez because Jose Ramirez is a special case, and that's why he gets a statue and the other two probably don't.
The problem with that example is there are multiple teams on the West Coast that will pay a lot more.
And that is my issue where it's going. If you can't afford it, then get out of the business. Many business owners do it all the time in different walks of life.
I've beaten that horse to death. It's been 15 years of talking about that.
And you know it, and I know it now. And this is what you just, and I know we're way over, and I'm going to get out right here. We'll go right to Jeff on the update, all right? But you just kind of laid it out here. When's David Blitzer going to take over? Probably not until after this work stoppage is done. And that's not until 2027. And I got Bryce Harper going eyeball to eyeball with Rob Manfred last week saying, I'm not afraid to lose 162 games. So you're looking at 2027-28 by the time that happens.
Be a pretty rough time to get into the small market baseball business.
You laid it out. Why would David Blitzer want to take over full operational ownership of this team without that national television contract that they're still trying to pound out right now, without that local money, where you can't even sell your entire ad breaks that are going through? Don't think Lyman and I haven't noticed about that. Why would David Blitzer want to take over full?
If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about. Golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why would he want to do that? You can buy it low, maybe, but then again, you got to get the guy to agree to sell it to you. Well, well, well. What did Shador get yesterday?
He actually got reps finally against the ones.
Go. But hey, not, that's ones. That's yes. ones to me.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, ones. But not playing kind of with the ones.
It's with the ones, you're, just not the ones you want him to be with.
Was he on the same field as Myles Garrett at the same time playing football? Was that the ones?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm making sure. I'm making totally sure.
In the end, Owen, it's the ones you met along the way.
Right. If you can't be with the ones you yeah. love.
The one and onlys.
Play against the ones on your defense.
I think this is the most one of the most frustrating and annoying times to be a real Browns fan.
You don't love this? You don't love getting thrown headfirst into a debate where you've got a national fan base in Shador. He comes here. And we've dealt with that before. We dealt with that with Johnny Manziel. We dealt with it with Baker. Where we had all these people flood our radio station. One became an affiliate.
Yeah.
So it could be in the cards. We could have our sister station out there in Boulder.
Sports Talk Radio station out there. Let's get them on the horn.
So, you know, you have this very, and I get it. Like, Shador has been awesome to follow the last few years. He has been awesome. You and I, how many podcasts did we didn't maybe necessarily mention him as much on the show, but on the podcast, it was like a deep dive into, can he play? Can he play? Because we were first enamored with Deion, and how different he was. How he was just totally changing at least the way that we think about a college football coach. And so, of course, because of that, we're watching his son. And at first, I'm like, all right, this is a nice sideshow. I don't really think he's going to play in the NFL. And then there were times where I'm like, Ken, is he going to be like a second day pick?
Well,
is he
going to
be a first day pick?
I truly
pick?
Thought he was
going to
be a first-round
draft first-rounder? Like, it grew over time.
I can't run away from that. I truly thought he was going to be a first-round draft pick. There was no way on earth I had him falling down to that. I had no idea. What I'm frustrated with, and I think what a real Browns fan is going to be frustrated with, and this is actually what is going to turn, because a lot of people who are real Browns fans are angry with this whole scenario where you're just coming off of 3-14, so you're just angry because they're losing. If you go to any other place that are people who have bombed in on the Browns here over these last few months because they're Shedeur Sanders fans, I think you're going to be wanting to put your head through the wall. Because I can't get by with a day without people saying things that are just patently untrue. And for the most part, I don't have to give air to any of it. But you have celebrities. You have people who are believing something that's just totally untrue of this franchise when it comes to Shedeur Sanders. And I had it out yesterday again. Luther Campbell. Miami's own Luther Campbell. NFL owners draft Shedeur Sanders in the fifth thinking they'd break him. Not. The day after his dad reveals he almost died, he goes 9-for-9. Brown's response, we're all at the owner to say he didn't want him. That's like telling a kid you're a mistake. Can't break him. He's built different. The owner also said he wanted to see him on the field. And I cannot stress this enough.
How about Uncle Luke pouring over the training camp stats?
And this is my issue. Well, you know how I feel about pouring over the training camp stats.
Isn't he a football guy?
Apparently.
Oh, of course he is.
Hold on.
Apparently.
Isn't he a football guy?
One of the most well-known Southern Florida football guys.
Is that South Florida how they talk about football? They go over practice stats?
I got to tell you.
No wonder the North is conquering the sport of college football again.
So,
sorry, Ken.
The Browns are a lot of things. They are a lot of things. I will testify in front of Congress. Anybody, I will say it in front of God the day I die. They are as desperate to find a franchise quarterback. No, they are 10 times more desperate to find a franchise quarterback than any team in the NFL, and maybe that means any team in NFL history. Hand to God, ladies and gentlemen. Hand to God. May God strike me dead. They are more desperate. They are doing absolutely everything they can to not sabotage Shedeur or any of these quarterbacks that they have. Nothing to sabotage these guys. Now, I can't say that for other guys in the past because they've wanted other guys to be starters in the past, okay? And that goes back to 99. But I'm telling you right now, especially when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, for the folks out there who are addicted to the argument, addicted to having the chip on their shoulder, I'm sorry to clap because I know it's coming over the air, addicted to fighting this argument for Shedeur Sanders that he's not even fighting, who has said it himself, hey, everybody's fair, we're getting treated fine, everything's good, I'm coming along the right way. They're being this knight for Shedeur Sanders that he doesn't even need. I tell you right now, as a person who has been ensconced in this franchise over the last 14 years that has seen what this franchise has had so many other quarterbacks come. They have gotten in their own way. Oh, they have absolutely gotten in their own way before, and we know who I'm talking about. But they are doing everything they can for a guy like the name of Sanders, a star of his caliber. They're doing everything they can to provide the fairest shot possible for him. I will take it to my grave, whether it's in the next minute, the next 30 minutes, or the next 30 years, I will take it to my grave and say it right to St. Peter's face. They are doing nothing to try to break a quarterback. They're doing nothing to try to break Shedeur Sanders, especially Shedeur Sanders. For anybody out there who is not a real Browns fan, who might be listening to this, I am telling you right now, shaking as hard as I can, they are not doing anything to try to sabotage or try to break Shedeur Sanders or to not be fair to Shedeur Sanders. How many jerseys did he already sell? How many jerseys did he already sell?
How many
autographs has he already signed in Greater Cleveland? How many events has he already had in Greater Cleveland? How many events has this man already... How much charitable contribution has this man made to society over the last umpteen years here, or at least the last four since he was at Jackson State, and certainly probably before because of who his father is? How many things has he done? They're trying to break Shedeur Sanders? After the cloud this franchise has been under over the last three seasons, they don't want that guy to be a franchise quarterback for them, the team that's more obsessed with finding a franchise quarterback than any team out there. They don't want Shedeur Sanders to play for them. Please, if you are not a real Browns fan, and I understand that many of the people who are saying these things aren't, and they've just looked at the Browns as not a good franchise and something they have not paid attention to. I don't want to tell you to pull your head from your ass because I want to be inviting to you. I want to be inviting. I promise you, on everything I hold dear in my life, they are not trying to break Shedeur Sanders. In fact, they're doing quite the opposite. Please, and I feel I'm going to have to say this time in and time out and time in and time out as time goes on. Is there anybody out there that actually thinks they're trying to break the guy? Or they're trying to sabotage the guy?
No.
Anybody in this area listening who's a real Browns fan? Anybody on the Free Odyssey app? Is there anybody who actually believes that? Or is this just celebrity stuff to get likes and retweets and stuff on social media where, you know, a guy could shut this down and none of this is real?
Use the coming in hotline.
Leave a voicemail. Please, I implore you.
If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about. Golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.